Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-245-1375. 800-245-1375. 800-245-1375. Call right now. That number again is 800-245-1375.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1820. 855-325-1820. That's 855-325-1820.
Hey, listen up. The official all-digital radio app is here. That's right. The all-digital radio app lets you stream all your favorite channels, all the time, on all of your mobile devices. Take all-digital radio with you everywhere you go by downloading the official app today at alldigitalradio.com. Or you can find the app in the Apple Store and on Google Play by searching all-digital radio. It's simple, easy, and it's free. Just download, choose your station, and start listening. Your favorite radio network is now your favorite app. Go to alldigitalradio.com and download it today. Promote your music, product, or service on air for as little as $5. Visit our website for more details at alldigitalradio.com.
You are listening to the All Digital Radio Network.
This is international film and television star Nick Searcy, and for some unknown reason, you are now listening to Off the Hook Radio. God help you all.
So you're a tough guy, like a really rough guy. You just can't get enough guy, just always a rough guy. Yeah, I'm the bad type, make your mama sad type. Make your girlfriend mad type, might seduce your dad type. I'm a bad guy.
We're all bad guys.
Yeah, and I fixed this so that CB will stop complaining.
We fix it.
I take back everything I said.
Thanks. Because you said I'd never do it.
Yes. I said you'd never do it. Never. Ever.
Well, that wasn't ZZ Top, but welcome to the first Off the Hook Radio of a new decade, and fuck Dwight Yoakam.
Yeah, he's an asshole.
Dwight Yoakam, the country singer, the little ugly bald guy who was in Sling Blade, you know, the wife abuser in Sling Blade, that guy, the one who got killed. Good. What was it, Slim? Slim, we our podcasts are on YouTube.
Well, I started putting them on YouTube. I tried, and
what happened?
You know, Dwight Yoakam fucking sent a copyright claim against our song. So
the ZZ Top thing.
Yeah, he's an asshole. I actually didn't know that Dwight Yoakam owns ZZ Top. To be honest,
Dwight Yoakam owns the right to ZZ Top music.
That's just bizarre.
That is bizarre. That's as bizarre as Michael Jackson buying the Beatles anthology. Although, at least at the time, Michael Jackson had the money. Where'd Dwight Yoakam get all his money? Nobody watches his narrow-ass, leather-pants-wearing, bald-headed fuck-face anymore. Where'd he get the money?
Don't know.
Yeah, I know what it is. That's why he's so skinny. Dwight Yoakam, drug addict. and harasser of innocent podcasts.
I'm just surprised that, like, ZZ Top sold the rights to their songs.
Yeah. Well, you know. What are you going to do? But we'll see what happens with this. That was Adam and the Metal Hawks. Our good friend Adam Esglazian is the lead singer for Adam and the Metal Hawks, doing the doing their cover of the Billie Eilish song "Bad Guy,"
which I like.
You did like it, okay?
Well, no, I like the original.
Oh, you like the original, the soft version?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we weren't going to screw with YouTube and a Billie Eilish copyright.
No, I understand. YouTube is like legit.
Yeah. We don't even know if we're gonna get by with Adam, but we're gonna try. Well, so hey,
have one of your kids write something in crayon that says, "Yeah, we got it."
If you tune into the podcast and all you hear is, what? They would just start out. They would just eliminate the whole intro.
Yeah, they just eliminated the whole intro.
No Nick Searcy or anything.
No, nothing. No.
We have Nick Searcy's permission. I have it in writing still.
Well,
in my...
yeah, but it was because it was, you know.
He did it on purpose.
It was the way we, it was.
Yeah, they were like together.
maybe I could ask Nick if I could have rights to his song that he did about, who's that guy who got nominated for the Oscars all the time that couldn't sing? You know what I mean? The curly haired guy at the piano with the glasses. I can't think of his damn name, but he took one of his tunes and rewrote it, a song about liberals. It was funny.
Curly haired guy with glasses at the piano.
Yeah, he's Randy
Newman.
Newman, yeah. He took a Randy Newman song and rewrote the lyrics to it. And Nick played the piano himself. He was very, very good. Nick is a talented guy. But, yeah, maybe we could do that. We could throw that in there, too.
Okay.
All right. So who else is getting triggered this week? Oh, yeah. Trump is triggering all the anti-Americans. You know, the Democrat Party. You've got them now defending... General Soleimani, the terrorist leader of the Iran's Quds Force and the guy behind the deaths and maiming of thousands of American military people. He's the guy who provided the explosives and projectiles for all those IEDs when we went into Iraq. You know, those friggin', you know, camel jockeys, they didn't know how to do this shit. He went in and taught them how to do it. He killed a bunch of well over 600 are dead. Thousands maimed, wounded, lives changed forever, and the Democrats are defending his death. It's horrible. All that Trump, he doesn't know what he's doing. Well, I think it's better to do that than continuing to coddle, you know, the guy who got a big chunk of the $150 billion of bummer handed over to the largest state sponsor of terror in the world, Iran. Now the left's defending Iran. Trump's completely dismantled Obama's legacy, and now he's killing his friends, Iranians. But I mean, seriously, think back to Benghazi, people. You know, and the word is that when the Iranians, they have a Hezbollah. And if you don't know who Hezbollah is, I apologize, but look it up. Hezbollah's in Lebanon, and they harass Israel all the time because they hate Jews. And he has a Hezbollah force now in Iraq. These are Shia. And I'm not going to go into the whole Islamic thing, but they're Shia and they're Sunni. And even though they're Muslim, they, for the most part, don't like each other. It's kind of like the Hatfields and the McCoys. And there's enough Shia in Iraq that will follow along with Iran, even though Iran, being it's a Shia state, but they're not even Arabs. They're Persians. But, you know, they like, let's kill America, death to America. You know what's really funny about death to America? They're all chanting death to America at his funeral procession, and they're hauling his body along in a Chevy pickup truck.
You can't make it up. It's the truth.
But my understanding is that when they talked about all the missile attacks and stuff from the Iraqi Hezbollah, he warned them that there better not be any American casualties or they'll pay a price. And he bombed some of their military stuff just as a little, hey, fuck you. And then they did it again, and they killed an American contractor. So he bombed a few more. And then they went over to take over our embassy. And this is like 1979 all over again. You know, they're attacking the American embassy. Now, fortunately, the embassy now in Iraq is not like the embassy in Tehran in 1979. It's a huge walled, fairly.
It's like a 90-acre complex, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, it's huge and it's fairly secure, but we don't have that many personnel there military wise anymore because he's pulling them out. And when they were attacking that, lighting fires and breaking in and all this kind of shit, he sent our quick reaction force. He had a reinforced platoon of Marines there within an hour. Okay, now you think back to Benghazi when Obama was president. And we've got our it's not really an embassy. What do they call it? It's a sub embassy that was out there in Benghazi.
Micro embassy.
Yeah, there's another name for it, but I can't think of it. No, I'm old. But they were attacking that with guns and fire and everything else, and we had a whole shitload of CIA contractors who were collecting guns in Libya and running them to Syria because that's what Hillary wanted them to do, although we're all not supposed to know about that, but we do. We know about it. Everybody knows about it but CNN and MSNBC.
Oh.
And these guys – well, these guys were on the radio and they kept hearing, you know, these calls for help from the compound, and the ambassador was there, and they didn't really have much security presence there. And these guys said, you know, we got all these guns and shit, and we're trained, you know, CIA contractors. Let's go help them out. They were told to stand down by the Obama administration no less than 6 times. And finally, they just said, oh, fuck it. We're not going to stand by and let 35 Americans get killed. And they went over there, and they fought the sons of bitches off. Now, we'd already lost the ambassador and Stephen Smith. His assistant, his communications guy, they were already dead by the time they got there. And two of these contractors also lost their lives on the roof. And the whole time they were there fighting, and they fought for hours, fighting off all these militants. We need help. We need help. Send a plane. Send gunships. Send something. And Hilly sent nobody. Obama was playing cards with Reggie Love upstairs in the White House, so they say. Sent nobody. Now we got a president who says, no, you killed an American contractor. Okay. We're going to blow shit up.
Well,
now you're attacking our embassy. Guess what? Your general, who's in charge of all this crap, who's been organizing all this crap, who was just in Syria organizing crap, who then flew into Iraq like he owns the place.
What did Joe Biden say in 1996? If Iran attacked a USA facility, it is an act of war and any retaliation is warranted. That's what Joe Biden said in 1996.
He didn't say that yesterday.
He sure did not.
No, it's amazing how that changed.
Isn't it?
But you know, President Trump stood up for us. You know, he took out this son of a bitch who's killed hundreds and maimed thousands of Americans. The leader of the largest state-sponsored terrorist organization in the world. And believe me, they got tons of money because we gave it back to them. You know, this is a country, and I've got a video on my Facebook page. Iran was the fifth best economy in the world before the Ayatollah took over in 79. You know, it was a modern Western Arab economy. You know, they were Muslim, fine. But, you know, they tolerated other religions. They didn't kill Christians. They didn't throw gays off of rooftops or anything like that. It was a hell of a country. It really was. People were very smart, well-educated, and now the smart and well-educated people are either dead or hiding or working for the crazy Ayatollahs. So, you know, I'm tired of this crap. I'm tired of the left defending people who hate America. You know, I really thought if a Democratic candidate would come out this year and act like an American, they might actually have a chance in 2020 because of, you know, the media hates Trump and, you know, half of America doesn't pay friggin' attention to anything. But that's not happening. And I also found it hysterical that Rachel Maddow, Anderson Cooper, and Don Lemon all protested the death of the Islamic terror leader. Because, you know, see, all three of them are gay Americans. All three of them would be put to death by clowns like Soleimani. You're not allowed to be gay in Iran. So let's how do these people look at themselves in the mirror? It's just because they hate Trump. It's because they hate Trump. Nothing else. So, anyway, but we're fortunate the rest of the world is getting tired of this liberal claptrap. Ricky Gervais at the Golden Globes last night apparently caused more casualties to the Hollyweird bunch than Trump did at the Baghdad airport, because he just came out and slayed them.
He did.
Ricky Gervais is he's a British comedian. He's certainly no conservative, but man, he gave it to the snowflakes last night at the Golden Globes. We've got a clip of the highlights. Let's go ahead and play this.
All right, here you go.
Hello and welcome to the 77th annual Golden Globe Awards, live from the Beverly Hilton Hotel here in Los Angeles. I'm Ricky Gervais. Thank you. You'll be pleased to know this is the last time I'm hosting these awards, so I don't care anymore. I'm joking. I never did. Let's go out with a bang. Let's have a laugh at your expense, shall we? Remember, they're just jokes. We're all going to die soon, and there's no sequel. I came here in a limo tonight, and the license plate was made by Felicity Huffman. So, no. Shush. It's her daughter I feel sorry for, okay? That must be the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to her. And her dad was in Wild Hogs. No one cares about movies anymore. No one goes to the cinema. No one really watches network TV. Everyone's watching Netflix. This show should just be me coming out going, well done, Netflix, you win everything. Good night. You could binge watch the entire first season of Afterlife instead of watching this show. Spoiler alert, season two is on the way, so in the end, he obviously didn't kill himself. Just like Jeffrey Epstein. Shut up. I know he's your friend, but I don't care. It was a big year for paedophile movies. Surviving R. Kelly, Leaving Neverland, Two Popes. Shut up. I don't care. The Irishman was amazing. Long, but amazing. It wasn't the only epic movie. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, nearly 3 hours long. Leonardo DiCaprio attended the premiere, and by the end, his date was too old for him. So, many talented people of colour were snubbed in major categories. Unfortunately, there's nothing we can do about that. The Hollywood foreign press are all very, very racist. So, we were going to do an in memoriam this year, but when I saw the list of people that had died, it wasn't diverse enough. It just, no. Apple roared into the TV game with a morning show, a superb drama, yeah. A superb drama about the importance of dignity and doing the right thing, made by a company that runs sweatshops in China. So, well, you say you're woke, but the companies you work for, I mean, unbelievable. Apple, Amazon, Disney. If ISIS started a streaming service, you'd call your agent. If you do win an award tonight, don't use it as a platform to make a political speech, right? You're in no position to lecture the public about anything. You know nothing about the real world. Most of you spent less time in school than Greta Thunberg. So, if you win, right, come up, accept your little award, thank your agent and your God, and
fuck off.
So, it's already 3 hours long.
That was it. Well, he did 8 minutes, but that was the highlights.
I got chuckles out of it.
I thought
we heard.
Sorry.
I'm glad you did. No, that's all right. That's all right. I mean, and they kept shooting pictures of the offended people in the audience. Tom Hanks looking shocked. Shocked, I tell you. Fuck you, Tom Hanks. We know your Epstein was a friend of yours. Go away.
I like that when he said Epstein didn't kill himself.
Yeah.
Oh, that was funny.
I like Two Popes was a pedophile movie.
I wish Hillary had been in the audience just so they could switch to her when he said Epstein didn't kill himself. That would have been awesome.
He'd have pointed right at her and said, "We know who did." Oh, man, yeah.
I'm not dead yet.
Yeah, I saw Dr. Baden was on some news show tonight talking again. He showed the ligature marks on Epstein's neck. Did you guys see that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, he basically had blood on his neck, and the ligature mark was rather thin. And the thing they said he hung himself with was cloth about an inch wide, and there was no DNA on it. So I really don't think that was used, because there would be blood on him. Slim, you might be right. He might not have killed himself.
I think he did.
And now the video cameras apparently were down for a lot longer than they admitted the first time. And these guys are supposed to check on him every 30 minutes, didn't check on him for over 8 hours. Doesn't sound like a setup to me, does it? Oh, plus the guy that runs the prison, there's a lot of pictures of him at Hillary fundraisers. He was a friend. So, we'll see. But anyway, Slim found a story this week, how to calm all these whack jobs down. Apparently, a new study says that having a plant on your office desk helps reduce daily stress.
Okay. Do you have to talk to it?
I don't know. You could, I guess. Modern employees are feeling more stressed than ever. Work anxiety has prompted employers and companies to try out a variety of soothing activities for their employees. From morning meditation sessions to video games in the break room. What about
blowjobs? Yeah, buddy.
I think they should have blowjobs in the break room. That relieves stress. Just saying. Now a new study identifies a charmingly simple solution. Researchers from the University of Hyogo in Japan say that small potted plants around the office can go a long way towards relieving stress. It's like being in nature. It helps your mental health. I think what Trump should do is tomorrow he should call up 1-800-Flowers and order a potted plant for every Democratic member of Congress. And have it sent to him.
What about John Dean? Does he get a potted plant too?
John Dean is a potted plant.
No, his lawyer. Don't you remember his lawyer?
Who?
I don't know what his name was, but they were questioning John Dean, and the lawyer sitting there goes, "I am not a potted plant." You don't remember that?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Sorry.
Well, I know, but this is...
That was an old Iran-Contra joke.
This is 40... I'm 30-some years later, and John Dean now is a potted plant all by himself.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. I've seen him on CNN. He wants to get paid the $50,000 a year as a consultant.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah,
whatever. Nice work if he can get it.
I guess. But get as accurate results as possible, the study's authors conducted their experiment in real-life office setting with actual employees instead of in a lab. They wanted to determine just how much relief workers felt after intentionally looking at an indoor plant whenever they started to feel tired on the job. So passive interaction with the plant was also considered. I guess that's talking to it. I don't know.
Maybe that's why people that grow pot are so happy.
Well,
they talk to their plants?
Well, no, they just because they have plants.
Oh, okay.
The 63 office employees that took part in the research, they were instructed to take a short 3-minute break whenever they started to feel tired or fatigued. And
their plants.
Apparently, they sat there and looked at their plan. So there you go. Liberal snowflakes, get a plant.
I'd take one.
Yeah. You're not even a liberal snowflake.
I know. I like plants.
You're a libertarian.
I still like plants.
But you don't smoke them.
No, I don't.
It's the best way.
Makes you sorry. Makes you a weak libertarian. That's a problem with me. I can't be a libertarian because they're in favor of like all kinds of drugs being illegal, being legal.
Yeah, I have a couple of friends that are for everything to be legal and
yeah.
Everything.
No, we watch live PD. I mean, these people are fucked up enough.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, what's the one thing on live PD when they pull somebody over? No driver's license, no insurance, and weed in the car. It's like the cops have some little secret thing that's like when they pull up to a car, the little thing's beeping and they go, your license plate light is out, I had to pull you over. No, your little gizmo inside your car said, no license, no insurance, they got weed.
you're profiled, I'm sorry.
I told you, that's why I could go up to Newport Richey when they were doing Pasco and I would have never got pulled over. I have a license. I have insurance. There's no weed in my car. Mm-hmm. What the hell? I'm boring.
Yep.
So, anyway. Hey, we've got a new segment tonight. Animals are great.
They are great.
Animals are great.
And I'm not going to sing it like Greg Gutfeld does because that's just the most horrible part of when he does Animals Are Great. But this is pretty cool. Where the hell did this happen? I don't even remember where this happened.
I don't either.
But, oh, it's Oregon. Okay. In Oregon, a cat brought home a bag of weed to his human. Now, I used to have a cat when I was young. When I lived with my grandparents, Snoopy would fly across the yard, jump, leap into the air like Superman and whack a bird and bring it down, and then he'd put it in his mouth and he'd bring it up to the porch and just set it there all proud of himself. Ah, look what I did. Look what I got. You know, and he'd grab a mouse out of the cornfield behind. He's always leaving dead animals on the porch. He's all proud of himself. So that's what cats do. You know, this cat brought home weed, though. This cat's smarter than my old cat, Snoopy, was. Slim, this is the kind of cat you should have.
I know. I'm all about
it. I had a cat that I used to get stoned.
Oh. Drink your beer?
No, I'd blow smoke in its face.
Oh, okay. Back in the day.
Back in the day.
Yeah. The only problem with this story, though, is this cat's particular human in Oregon is a police officer.
Well, is pot legal in Oregon?
I think so.
Pretty close, but he said this cat's brought him hundreds of stolen objects, including everything from a
so his cat's a thief.
A toy horse collection to a bag of weed. Yeah, apparently it's cat.
This cat's a thief. Why doesn't he put it in little tiny feline handcuffs?
He's Tigger the cat, and they now call him Klepto Kitty.
Yeah, really.
He's stolen toys, cups, gloves, underwear, trash, and recently a bag of weed. Now, where the hell did this cat get a hold of a bag of weed?
Out of it in someone's drawer.
He says he went in, grabbed a cup of coffee, walked out to get the newspaper and see what Tigger brought to him today. And there it was.
We should teach Tigger to bring him the newspaper.
Yeah, that's true. And he would be a helpful cat. But no, a cat bringing home a bag of weed to like the only person in Oregon that wouldn't want it.
Yeah.
A cop.
Well, cats aren't bright.
The cop might have wanted it, he just can't have it, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, well. But that was our Animals Are Great story. Slim, you got to get yourself a Tigger.
I will try. I have a cat. He's just not a Tigger.
Well, you got to teach him.
I'm going to have to do that.
You know, they train the dogs to sniff out weed and everything. You can train your cat to sniff out weed and then bring it to you.
To do that.
Yeah. Now, you remember the last 2 weeks we've had stories about the true holiday spirit.
Yeah.
With the Florida guy handing out free weed.
Yep.
And the cops weren't too thrilled with that. And then we had the Colorado guy. The cops weren't too thrilled with him either because he robbed a bank to give away the money. You know, robbed the bank, stand on the street, giving away the money. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas.
Well, why give away your own money? Give away somebody else's.
Yeah. No, I mean, I like that.
That's the American way.
Now we got a Florida bank who apparently saw the weed guy in Florida and said, well, you know what? We're going to get in the holiday spirit. Here's how we're going to do a promotion for New Year's Eve. Their ATM, they swapped out some $20 bills for $50 bills for the New Year's Eve celebration. It's Sanibel Captiva Community Bank, their ATM in downtown Fort Myers, Florida. The machine was expected to issue an undetermined number of $50 bills in place of $20 bills. The bank's continuing the tradition of issuing lucky patrons the $30 windfall in celebration of the Fort Myers New Year's Eve countdown celebration, hosted every year called the River District Alliance New Year's Eve Countdown, the Downtown Countdown. That is way too damn long of a title.
I was going to say, that's a whole lot of words.
RDANYEDDC. Even the initials are too long. Now, this is supposed to create goodwill and stuff for the bank and everything. I beg to differ. I think this is total bullshit.
Because?
Because they got all kinds of free advertising for doing this, right?
You would think.
All the newspapers had it. All the TV news stations were running it. The radio stations were talking about it. Okay. Well, that's $30. $30 extra, right?
Okay.
What's your average ATM fee?
Me? Zero.
Anywhere from $2 to $3.50 is what it is around here.
All right. Let's say it's $2. Okay. I'll bet you $50 myself that the $50 bills that they gave out were only every, oh, I don't know, 20.
Yeah, so they made it back in the fees. Absolutely.
Yeah, and they got all these people going to their banks, running up the fees, trying to get the extra $30, and they're making extra money.
No, well, they're not making extra. They're just breaking even.
No, they're doing better than breaking even. Nobody breaks even in business. He said, in the past, we've had such great response with our 20s for 50 ATM swap. We thought, why not do it again and give back to the community we love?
Yeah. Right.
Said the lying bitch Amy McQuaig.
The best president would have been
vice president of the bank.
If I use my bank's ATM, I don't get charged.
Not your bank's ATM.
Oh, come on. Everybody was going to their ATM trying to get the 50.
I understand that.
And if you're at another bank, you're getting fees.
You're correct. So
but if you're at another bank, you're not getting the 50 because you're not at their, you have to be at their bank.
I take money out of my account at the casino. I pay the casino $4.50, and then my bank charges me another $3.
See, anybody can go to that bank and take money out of that ATM, no matter where they bank with. The people that were members of the bank didn't have to pay the fee, but the people that weren't members of the bank would have to pay the fee.
Yeah, well, no, that I understand.
Okay.
I'm telling you, I can guarantee you they didn't lose friggin' money on this deal. So I think the guy giving away weed in Pinellas County, where was he? Was he Clearwater or I don't know, wherever he was. I think he had more Christmas spirit and holiday spirit than this bank. Piss on him. So what did we have last week? Oh, last week we had the emergency police call for the guys playing with the Nerf gun.
Yes.
Remember that? They had the Nerf gun battle and the neighbor heard somebody say, I'm going to shoot you. And they called the cops and the sirens and everything, and they come. It was a Canadian town. We found two more of those kind of stories this week in a segment I want to call Live PD Nye County, Nevada. Now, Slim knows why I want to call it Live PD Nye County, Nevada. Because if you ever watch Live PD, Nye County, Nevada has been on like forever. And it's the most boring segments on Live PD.
Nothing ever happens.
Nothing happens. Nye County, Nevada, it's just this big rural county, takes up the whole southern part of Nevada that isn't Las Vegas. And Pahrump is the main basically what do they have there?
They have
some small casinos and whorehouses. That's it. And a lot of poor people. And you know, the average call in Nye County, Nevada is the grandma called in to report a burglary, and the cops come out there and I think somebody stole my alarm clock.
I swear it was right there. Now it's gone. They stole it. I want to make a report.
You're like, all right. Or they get the report of a burglary in progress because the neighbor saw, drove by and saw a house where the front door was hanging wide open. So two cops will come out, and they get their flashlights out and their guns out, and they're going two by two, covering each other, searching the rooms, looking for the perpetrator, trying to make sure they get the drop on him before he gets the drop on them. And he spent 5 minutes going through the house. And then you find out, oh, it's an abandoned house. The door's open all the time, and it doesn't shut. That's Nye County, Nevada. So we have a couple of those. But hopefully ours are funnier than Nye County, Nevada. The first one was from North Carolina. Slim found this one. Thank you, Slim. This is a good one.
That's right.
North Carolina couple called 911 on an intruder. They had an intruder the night before Christmas. Everybody's nervous the night before Christmas. Somebody's going to break in and steal all the presents around the tree.
I thought not a creature was stirring.
Not even a mouse.
Oh.
But apparently something was stirring. The Forsyth County couple awoke with a fright as something was moving around their house in the night. They dashed to their closet and they hid in fear, dialing 911 with a sensitive ear. Responding sheriff's deputies searched the home and found out their robot vacuum cleaner was all alone. The source of the scare had quickly been sorted. WGHP-TV reported, the robot seemingly started and gotten stuck. It was beeping and banging, making the audible muck. I like they put this in a poem. That's pretty good. Homeowner Thomas Millum said the vacuum named Harry was new. They'd had it for days, maybe just two. He said, it's not better to be sorry than safe. He called 911 again, even if he was making a mistake. No, you idiots. You don't set your Roomba to go run around the house at midnight. You know, you set it for like noon or 10 a.m. or something like that, you dipshits.
Oh, no, you set it for the middle of the night because you're out of the way and it can go
it
do its thing.
It makes noise.
Yeah, but you got to remember. That's the thing.
they're just dumb is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, too bad they didn't commit a crime. They could have been our stupid criminal.
Well, the Roomba was a stupid criminal.
Yeah. I hate when my Roombas screw up. Oh, and you know what's really worse? When the Roombas run around and the little dog did a poop in the corner and you didn't see it.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it takes an hour to clean that bitch.
See videos on that all the time.
Oh, I just had to do that like a week and a half ago. And I was like, oh, why does the house smell bad? The Roomba's running, it should smell fine. Then you see the brown streak across the den. You go, oops. I forgot to do a poop check. The little shitter snuck out and did one. That's what little dogs do. He's probably all proud of himself.
Look what I made.
Poopies. I did poopies, Dad. Dad, why are you messing with your machine for an hour and a half?
Because it takes that long to clean it out, for Christ's sake. At least I got it before it got back to the thing and tried to empty. You know, it goes back to its little home base, and then it blows all the dirt into a bag inside the thing.
Or the poop.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then I would have poop all inside that, too. Oh, that would have been really bad. But anyway, it got fixed. Roombas are great. You guys have Roombas?
No.
No, I don't.
No? I got the one with the vacuum that runs around and does most of the house. And then I put the old one in the cave. So it vacuums the carpet in the cave on Fridays and Mondays because I usually only in the cave on weekends. And the dogs are in there. And for dogs that don't shed, I always seem to get a lot of dirt in my Roomba. But, hey, that's all right. So anyway, we promised you two of these, right?
You did.
The other one, of course, is Florida.
Oh.
Because this weird shit always happens in Florida. This one sounded really serious, though. It was in Palm Beach or in the East Coast. Our girl Emily Brooke from American Idol, she's in West Palm, not too far. Deputies with the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office responded to reports of someone screaming for help at a neighbor's home on December 29th. the screaming was, what did they say? Let me out! Let me out! It was a woman's voice. Let me out! Let me out! Like somebody was kidnapped. This is serious shit. So all these cop cars show up. All these cops show up. You know, they come out with guns drawn and everything else. And they discovered the supposed victim was actually a parrot named Rambo. The homeowner was
Rambo.
Yeah, the homeowner was out in the driveway changing the brakes on his car, according to NBC News affiliate. And the deputies arrived, notified him, and his neighbor called a report there was a woman screaming inside, asking for help to be let out. The owner then introduced Rambo to the officers. It's a 40-year-old parrot. Well, after 40 years, maybe the parrot really did want to get out. You don't want to be cooped up in a cage for 40 years. Jesus. That'd be like a life sentence.
Yeah.
So Rambo was on his outside porch where he sings and talks, and the neighbors just shit themselves. That's basically what it was. Four cops showed up. So they, of course, had to search and make sure, but, you know, it was just a stupid parrot. I don't know. You guys ever have one of them?
A stupid parrot? No.
Any parrot.
Had a cockatiel, which was stupid.
It didn't talk?
No.
No? Then it's stupid.
Yeah, it was stupid.
You got to take care of a smelly, friggin' big-ass bird in your house. At least you do is get some fun out of it.
It wasn't my idea.
I'm sorry. Slim, you got a million animals. No birds?
I had a bird, and I was making breakfast one morning, and I heard a thump in the living room, and I went outside, and the bird had fallen off from its perch and died in the bottom of the cage. Gracie said the bird's dead and went back to her phone.
Was it a dead parrot?
Parakeet.
Well, we could do a whole Monty Python skit.
Yeah.
There you go.
What was it? It was some kind of a Norwegian...
It's a deceased parrot.
The Norwegian blue sleeps a lot. He's just asleep. He's nailed to the perch.
No, he's not.
He's deceased. He is no more. I love that shit. I got a lot of Monty Python shirts.
You are.
My favorite Christmas present.
I like that.
Yeah, I showed you the I'm Not Dead Yet one. That was the day after I thought I almost was. And then I got my Monty Python and the Holy Grail one yet. It's got King Arthur on the front with the little hobbit guy beside him with the coconuts, you know, because when they galloped through the forest, they didn't really have horses. So they used to bang the coconuts together to make it sound like horses clumping along. And then I've got my my bridge, my Black Knight guarding the bridge. Remember the Black Knight?
Yeah.
Yeah, to answer a really complicated question to get across a bridge.
It no, said, that wasn't the Black Knight. That was the troll.
No, it was a Black Knight.
No, the Black Knight was the one that...
got his arms chopped off, yes.
Yeah.
But it says bridge experts in bridge security since 932. I get a kick out of that one too. I love Monty Python. You people, you youngins out there, have never seen Monty Python, go on YouTube. Shit's funny. Dude, look up the Dead Parakeet one, Nudge Nudge. That was always
Say No More.
Yeah, that was always one of my favorites. Your wife a go, right? I go, alright. Are you trying to insinuate something? Oh no, 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 no. Yes. She likes photography. Candid photography. That's a good one. And they have the Ministry of Silly Walks, which is just absolutely insane. You know, there's a t-shirt with that on too. It's like the Beatles walking across Abbey Road.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the Monty Python guys doing their silly walks. What else is a good one? Oh, the Lumberjack song.
I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay.
Yeah. Sleep all night and I work all day.
Chopped down trees, I eat my lunch, I have buttered scones.
I go to the lavatory. Okay. And then, I wish I'd been a girly just like my dear papa. Turns out he's a transvestite. And this is from like 1968, 69, something like
probably.
That. That shit was shocking. Shocking back then.
Well, it was English. That was the excuse. Oh, it's English.
Yeah. And even the cartoons were funny. That's a, the only American in the troop was the guy who did the Terry Gilliam. He's the guy who did the cartoons. So in between all the second, and they started every show.
There was some weird friggin' cartoons too.
They were. And if you didn't follow British politics in the late 60s, you didn't know who half the characters were. I mean, I found out about Monty Python in like 1977 or something, you know. So I was stuff was already old when I was watching it, and I had no idea who these people were, but I had encyclopedias, so I'd look them up. They go, oh, that's why they're making fun of that guy. So, but it's still good. Go look it up, people. Put some laughter in your life.
Right? Never watched that all the way through. I've only watched bits and pieces.
Hey, they're not all great.
A lot of the movies were on the other week.
Yeah.
Life of Brian.
Life of Brian's pretty good.
Yep.
I'm not dead yet.
Follow the shoe.
They had the one where the building flies. Oh, that was Life of Brian, wasn't it?
Where the building flies?
Yeah, the building flies. And or was that the God one? I don't know. I forget which one that was. But the Monty Python and the Holy Grail, they're searching for the Holy Grail, and they come across the building, and King Arthur tells them he wants to see their master, and they said, "Why? Go away, you English pig dog." He says, "I'm on a royal quest for the Holy Grail." And Cleese looks over there. He's playing the Frenchman. He goes, "We already got one." I'll go nuts. The Holy Grail's here. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And he tells him, "Go away. Your father was a hamster, or your mother was a hamster, and your father smelt of elderberries. I fart in your general direction." I mean, this is just—it's just silly shit. But then you get to the end, and the end all of a sudden it's modern, and they're still running around in their year 1000 or 982 AD or whatever the hell it is.
Well, there was a couple of situations outfits during the movie where they found the dead guy, and there was a girl who found the dead guy, and there was obviously a London Bobby who was yes. investigating the crime. So yes. there was those little vignettes.
Yes.
During the movie.
And at the end, they're all attacked by killer rabbits.
There was only one with big teeth.
But he had big teeth. It isn't supposed to make sense. It's just funny. Like this guy, our stupid criminal of the week. Guess where he's from?
Florida.
That wasn't tough, was it?
No.
Florida man awakes to find another man sucking on his toes.
Oh. I'm glad you said toes.
Toes. That's he wanted something else. We'll get to that. The man thought he was being robbed, but the intruder was there for something much different. Bradenton, Florida. Woke up, guy wakes up in the middle of the night, finds another man sucking on his toes, according to the Manatee County Sheriff's Office. Deputies say the man was sleeping in his bed in Bradenton when he woke up and realized he wasn't alone. The man told deputies he was assuming he was being robbed. So he told the intruder he didn't have any money. But money wasn't what the intruder was there for. He told the man he was there to suck on his toes. So the man punched the accused toe sucker and forced him outside. The two were brawling outside, and the man who sucked the toes told the other man he had a gun and tried to fondle him. "Ah, this is my rifle. This is your gun. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. One is for fighting, one is for fun." What movie is that from?
Full Metal Jacket.
There you go. Can't get nothing by CB.
That movie was just on.
Was it?
Yes.
That's a good one.
I love it. I love the first half of the movie. The second half when they're in Vietnam is sort of eh, but the first half when they're in basic training is awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. Vincent D'Onofrio is awesome.
Oh, you got what's his name, the sergeant?
Oh, yeah, Arlie Ermey.
Yeah, I'm
the
sorry.
The late Arlie Ermey.
Yeah. But, I mean, he was doing what he did best. He was a drill sergeant.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you want to know what a drill sergeant's really like? There you go. So he tried to fondle him, and the guy continued to hit him for about 30 seconds before running inside, then called 911. At this point, the intruder broke the front window of the home, stomped on his car windshield until it broke, and then the toe-sucking man took off. So they tried to track him with a K-9, but were unable to find him. I think they should have sat on the curb, took their shoes off. He'd have showed up. Don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cops are not that smart. We learned
just
that.
Just wave your feet in the air.
We learned that from watching Live PD, too. Cops are not always that smart. What else we got? Oh! The only show on TV better than Live PD. Because it has dragons and boobs. Game of Thrones.
Oh yeah, you're excited for this.
Yeah, I'm the House of the Dragons, what they're going to call it. It's it's actually based on the book Fire and Blood, which I have read. R.R. Martin, he wrote Fire and Blood, which is about 300 years before. It starts 300 years before the Game of Thrones TV series, but he wrote that book before he actually finished the original Game of Thrones. I mean, if you watch Game of Thrones, the first four or five seasons were pretty close to the book, you know. But then George R.R. Martin never finished the damn story, so the producers of the show had to kind of finish it for him.
Right.
So, like, the last three and a half seasons of Game of Thrones had nothing to do with any books. You can't go looking it up in the book, is that what they really did? Because the books end before they ever got there. So he's still got to finish the book. But then he goes back and he writes one about 300 years prior. But the 300 year prior one, which brings you right up to where Game of Thrones starts, it's 300 years of history all in one book. Whereas the Game of Thrones novels, there's five, and he needs to finish it with at least a sixth book. And that covers a period of, what, 25 years. So you get six books for 25 years, and you got one book for 300 years. So they're going to have to rewrite a whole lot of this shit, too. But the good thing about Fire and Blood, or as they're going to call it, House of the Dragon, is about the Targaryens' rule. Lots of dragons. This is when dragons ruled. Targaryens could ride the dragons, and all the wars were ended by dragons. Finished by dragons. Lots of dragons. So it's going to be CG out the ass. And I'm pretty sure boobs.
Nothing wrong with that.
They got to have boobs.
You do.
Dragons and boobs and sword fighting. I'm happy. And I mean the metal sword fighting, not the other sword fighting. But George R. R. Martin is set to co-executive produce. 10 episodes have been ordered for the series so far. So there you go. So at least I already have Targaryen shirts, so I'll have stuff I can wear. I won't have to order new junk right away. The guy who won an Emmy for directing The Battle of the Bastards, which was one of the greatest episodes of the original Game of Thrones series, Miguel Sapochnik, he won the Emmy. He will be a co-showrunner and will direct the pilot and some other episodes. So that's going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
The House of the Dragons, the first of many projects for a new deal that Sapochnik signed with HBO, which he'll develop and produce content for HBO and HBO Max. What the hell is HBO Max?
I don't know. I never.
Is this something new?
Never heard of it.
I don't know. They had another prequel that was set to star Naomi Watts. Would have highlighted the Age of Heroes, which is way back. That's even before the Targaryens. In the first ever battle between humans and White Walkers, thousands of years before the events in the Game of Thrones series. But they kind of nixed that one. See, to me, if they're going to go backwards, they should do this dragon thing for 3 years and then go back and do that one.
Mm.
Right?
I don't know, because this whole thing is confusing. I started watching the show and gave up, so.
You gave up?
Yeah, I didn't watch that much of it. It just got confusing.
Uh-oh. Read the books.
Yeah, no, that's okay.
Yeah, the five books that are out, it's only 3,700 pages or something. Plus a book of gum.
That's okay.
Took me 2 weeks. I'm a pretty fast reader, and it still took me 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That's a lot of pages, isn't it?
It is.
Do you like books that are long, or do you like books that
I don't like any books.
Quick, short. You don't like any books?
No.
CB, do you read books? CB, are you still awake?
Oh, I was on mute. Sorry.
He muted. Do you read books?
Books on tape.
You like books on tape?
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to read nothing. You just listen.
Yeah. So it's sort of like reading, but not.
And then you tell Alexa to pause it, and then you tell her to turn
the... No, I didn't go to my car.
Before your wife gets there, turn... Set the... Alexa, pause my book on tape. Set the house temperature to 71 degrees and turn on the lights. Mm-hmm. My wife is arriving home. That's crap. You guys have Alexa? Anybody have Alexa?
I have a Google.
I got Hey Google.
I got Hey Google.
Hey Google? How does that work?
Hey Google.
Just like Alexa. Does the same thing.
What do you have it set up to do? Anything complicated?
My cameras. Does my cameras.
You don't have it like set to the thermostat or...
No, I don't have any of that.
No, nothing like that.
You have it set to the lights of the house or anything?
No.
Nope.
Nope.
I mean, I got an ADT thing, so I can just plug them in the walls and stick lights in them, go away, and I can just go on the app and
turn. Well, I mean, we can do that. I can do that too. I don't. But yeah, I can.
I don't need Google snooping on me to do it, though. Those sneaky bastards.
Oh, fuck's sake.
What? Hey, do we have that song?
Oh, me? I'm talking to my phone.
Which one?
That bomb.
Yeah, I've got that. Thing. Yeah, I've got that. We can do that.
All right.
What are we doing?
There's a song out called Bomberan, and the reason I like it, it's cute, number one, and it's a takeoff on something else we used to do, you know, on when they bombed Iraq back in the day. But this is a new version of it, Bomberan, and Facebook apparently thinks it's offensive because it took it down everywhere.
It was all over
Facebook, and it disappeared. Yeah, it's Bomberan. Yeah. So we're going to close out with that, Slimbo?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay. We'll be back. No, next week we won't be back.
Why?
No, because it's college football.
All right, yeah, no show next week.
Back on the 20th, and then we'll be here on my birthday to celebrate, and you guys are going to give me a chocolate cake with coconut, right?
All right, that'll work. We'll try
it. Yeah, absolutely.
That's all.
All over that.
All right, guys.
Good night.
Bomb, 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 Iran. Bomb, 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 Iran.
Bomb, Iran.
Some rocks, tell the Ayatollah gonna
put you in a box.
Old Uncle Sam's getting pretty hot. Time to turn Iran into a parking lot. Call the bombardiers, call the financiers, better get their ass in here.